Welcome to the Work Hard, Play Hard podcast. My name is Rob Murgatroyd, and I am a former doctor turned lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I interview some of the best minds on the planet on the science of achievement and the art of fulfillment. Today's episode is a mini-sode that we call Fried Date with the Wife. In these mini-sodes, my wife Kim and I deconstruct the strategies that we've developed over the last decade to not only grow personally, but to turn our struggles into lessons and create fulfillment in all areas of our lives. Excuses are over. It's time to live. Let's dig into today's topic. All right, before we jump into this episode, I want to invite you to be considered for my Work Hard, Play Hard Mastermind by completing an application at workhardplayhardmastermind.com. So this mastermind is not like any mastermind you may have been to or heard of, I promise you. This mastermind is for 6 to 7 figure entrepreneurs that are working too damn much and aren't taking the time to have amazing experiences around the world with an incredible tribe of people. So every 100 days or so, I drop you into new experiences that are specifically designed to elevate your thinking, to give you new ideas. Look, you get your best ideas not staring at a computer. And actually, this is the way high-level people really collaborate with each other. They do it over a glass of champagne, watching the sunset in the south of France. And we'll be doing things just like that. In fact, we'll be taking a vintage car ride through the French Riviera this summer, and we'll be truffle hunting in Florence in the fall, to name just a few of the experiences so that I can give you a feel for it. So if you are ready to do some fun stuff around the world and really, really want to level up your tribe in one shot, fill out an application at workhardplayhardmastermind.com. We'll jump on a call and we'll see if it's a good fit. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Well, Kimberly Montenegro Murgatroyd. That actually rhymes. That's an alliteration. Did I say that correctly? An alliteration? Kimberly Montenegro Murgatroyd.
All right, that sounds fun. Take a deep breath.
Guess what?
What?
We're actually in Montenegro right now.
Are we?
We are in Montenegro.
That's so weird. I didn't know.
Look outside your window. What do you see?
I see a giant bay with massive mountains all around it. So yeah, we're in Montenegro, kids.
All right. So you're having me do this podcast not in the way that I like to do my podcast. This is not how I like my podcasts. How do I like my podcasts, and how are you making me do this?
You like them with notes written in front of you in bullets. And this one, you're not getting that. You just didn't get that.
I feel like I'm sitting here in this chair, freeballing, doing the best that I can to answer.
Freeballing.
So what I'm going to do is, since I don't do well in this environment, I am going to make you lead me in whatever it is that you want to know, because I need a direction and I don't have a direction. I find that I am a good interview subject. I think when somebody interviews me, I think I'm good. So do it.
All right. Just do it. So what I thought we would talk about today is kind of where we're at in Montenegro, but not, you know, the history and all that stuff. More why we're here, because when we were in Mykonos, we had one hysterical night that I think my abs are still sore from, with our friends Darren and Tony talking about coming to Montenegro. And, you know, a lot of people have no clue where Montenegro is. It's basically just south of Croatia and Bosnia. It's in the old Yugoslavia. And, you know, when we tell people that, they're like, okay, why are you there? And why are you there for 2 weeks? And Rob and I were having this conversation with Darren and Tony over a few cocktails one night in Mykonos.
And Darren and Tony are our besties that we've been traveling around the world with for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, something
long time,
like that.
Long time.
And Rob was dying. He was like, I think she's taking me there to kill me. And the conversation was just so funny. And, you know, you had such trepidations about coming here in general and coming here for 2 weeks, because we're in an Airbnb. We're in an Airbnb that is actually a home with a yoga studio on top of it.
All right. So hold on. You're going way too far. So if you're asking yourself, how does Montenegro and all things Montenegro
relate to me. Let me put this back in perspective for you. What we're talking about here, I don't care if it's Montenegro or Montenegro, okay? It could be Kazakhstan. It doesn't matter. The point is that we made a decision because we're in hiding. Explain why we're in hiding.
But that's the point. So the point was this. I knew we were going from 6 months of reaction. You know when you're in reaction and you're not in creativity, you're not in flow.
No. That's not, before we get to that, I'm explaining why we're hiding out from the government.
And I'm trying to do that. How much coffee have you had? For real. Oh my God, you know I can't stand this noise. Oh my, it's on my 23andMe. All right. So we were in 6 months of reaction. Rob sold the clinic. We were moving to Europe. We were doing this 4 months. He was building his mastermind, podcast, my business, kids, packing up our stuff, leaving Atlanta. Like, it was like boom, 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 boom. It was like, you know, being constantly hit with like a Nerf ball. It felt like I was constantly reacting.
Nerf ball?
Yeah, like I felt like I was playing dodgeball nonstop.
Do they still have Nerf balls?
Yeah, of course. I felt like I was just nonstop playing dodgeball and for 6 months. And then we packed all our stuff up and then we moved and then we flew, you know, to Monaco and then we land in Monaco and it's like, boom, mastermind, 4 to 5 days.
By the way, Monaco and Montenegro sound alike. That's where it ends. But continue.
So we landed in Monaco, helicoptered in, and it was like straight up, boom, mastermind, we're in. And 20 people flying over, we're, you know, wining, dining, entertaining, experiencing all of these things. And then we leave there and we go straight to Mykonos. And Mykonos with our friends, it's like, this beach, that beach, on, and it's vacation mode. And again, we're just going and going and going. And I knew that after 6 months of, you know, dodgeball, followed by a mastermind, followed by the crazy of Mykonos, the late nights and all of that, that we were going to need a reset. And we were going to need to reset our business, our bank accounts, our body, like all of it. We were going to just need a rest. And I knew I needed a place that was off the grid.
Mm-hmm, you found it.
Off the grid. And that was going to not have so many distractions.
Mm-hmm, found that too.
That was going to pull us away from the reset that we really needed. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, we're resetting. We're resetting. Solitary confinement can do that too, but go ahead, continue.
So that's what the purpose of this was. And I, Robert, was I smart in what I did, what I created here for you? Honestly.
I'm not ready to talk about how awesome you are right now, but here's what I am going to say. I want to explain it from a slightly different perspective. Okay? So we're coming out of I'm a little bit more comfortable, you know,
in the glitz and glam.
Yeah, I mean it's like I feel, you know, it's like an old shoe. I feel like I can slide into home base. Is that what you do? It feels comfortable for me.
We can tell you've never played baseball.
So when I get to Kazakhstan,
Montenegro.
You land, right? My first.
Well, we landed in Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
And you were not. So he was, to set the stage, he was really nervous and confused because every time, what would happen, Rob, every time you told someone you were coming to Montenegro for 2 weeks?
Well, first of all, there's two camps. One is that in Jamaica, right? Is that Montego? No, it's Montenegro. So, i.e., they have no idea. And then the other camp is, oh, Montenegro's nice, but
for like 2 days.
For like a day or two. Like, why are you doing 2 weeks? So because we're doing 4 months in Europe, we have to stay out of what they call the Schengen countries, which are slightly different from the EU. Not all countries are Schengen countries who are in the EU. But the point is, you can't stay for longer than 90 days. So we have to, in a row. So we have to leave for a period of 30 days. And that's one of the reasons why we chose here. So anywho, we land and we have to go through, we land in Croatia and we have to go through the border to get into Montenegro.
Oh, and let's talk about that.
And my
let's talk about that because that was super fun. We actually had to go through three borders, Croatia, Bosnia, and Montenegro.
Okay.
And they were like all within 5 minutes.
Well, I have no idea which of those three borders we were
that you
in.
You almost got arrested at?
But I get through, and my wife tells me all the time, look, if you follow me on social media.
He's always on.
You like my social media, right? You like my Insta stories. You like my videos, my posts. And if you don't like it, don't tell me because I don't care. But here's the thing. I'm constantly trying to bring you information that is different
useless.
And fun and so you can be a part of it. So my wife is always saying to me when we're going through a new border, put your phone down.
No, you see he's the guy that when you go through passport control in the airport and there's like 9,000 signs or customs that say no using your phone, he's the guy taking the pictures. Okay.
So I was the guy taking the pictures and I'm going through and we're creeping up in the, you know, it's like a, you know, it's a toll booth kind of thing. It's a border, like an outdoor border on the highway. And as we're going through, I wanted to take some pictures. Now I wasn't what I was trying to do was I was trying to take a picture of the border. I was. I was trying to take the mountains, but in that case, I wasn't. That was my cover. I was trying to show that, you know, look, we're going into whatever. So I take the thing out. My wife's like, put the phone down. I'm like, it's fine. Men, you feel me? Just, you know, they're like, stop.
Ladies, you feel me?
So I get to the border, the guy, you know, doesn't speak a whole lot of English, but enough for me to understand. Then we go back and forth, passports, please. Here's my passport, stamp. Takes a pause, takes a beat, looks me in the eye and says, were you filming?
Were you taking pictures of the police?
That's what he said. Were you taking pictures of the police? And I said, no, I wasn't taking pictures. It was for my Instagram. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
You were
that.
Taking pictures of the police for your Instagram?
I said, no, I wasn't.
And no, he goes, no, I wasn't. I was taking pictures of the mountains. Okay.
Oh, that was the cover. That's right. That was the lie.
Yeah.
And I got this look. And have you ever had that moment where you know it can go one of two ways? Either he's going to get out of that vertical coffin that he's standing in and walk into the car and handcuff me, and I was going to be in the gulag for the next 30 days, and my wife was going to try and have to bail me out.
Or leave him there.
Or that was funny. Or he was going to let me go and I was going to have to deal with a worse punishment, which was my wife for the next hour and a half telling me. And my wife was actually pretty cool about it. I turned around and I said, go ahead. It was kind of like, I don't know what they call it. What do they call it when those people have would have to whip themselves? Yeah. You know, those monks in like,
flogging.
Yeah, flogging. Yeah. I knew I was going to be flogged for a period of time.
No, but the best is we're driving out and we're driving down the road and I hijacked Rob's phone and did a little Insta story because we had to go back and delete the stories that he did in the event that he tagged like I'm at the border, like moron, and we'd be, you know, arrested. So I'm Insta storying and I'm like, and then Rob lied and he's like, I didn't lie. And then we got Peanut Gallery in the back, Sophia going, Dad, you lied. You know you lied, big baby. You know you lied.
All right. Moving along from the border, we go from the border and we start working our way into Montenegro. Now, on the plus side, when you come into this place, I mean, for those of you that have been to Southern California and seen the Southern California mountains against the water, you know, it's a spectacular drive. This is the same vibe, but like 100x. Like the mountains are so much closer, so much bigger. The water is so much more unique. It is, follow us on social so you can see some of the pictures. It's really, really spectacular.
It's
okay.
Really stunning.
Now with that, I don't know what the average age of the person listening to this podcast is, but it won't make any sense unless you do this Googling. Google Wendy's Where's the Beef Swimwear, not Google, YouTube, and watch the commercial. It's 30 seconds of your life that'll change your life forever, where they were promoting the Where's the Beef. I still don't exactly know what that has to do with it.
They were promoting that you want to have choices, and they had a Russian woman on a runway, like an older, you know, heavier set Russian woman on a runway. And they were like, go ahead, day wear.
You know what the word for heavy set is? It just hit me. Zoftic. Look that up. Zoftic. I think I'm right. A Zoftic woman.
All right.
Which is a big gal.
Someone listening,
You can check it.
You can check them
all. All right. So she comes down the runway and she goes,
Dayward.
So imagine like,
oh my God, this is going on way too long.
Hold on a second. Imagine a runway like fashion show. And the guy's like, okay, time for evening wear. And so the lady comes out and she's, you know, has one outfit and she's holding a flashlight. And then the guy goes, swimwear. And she comes out, same outfit, holding a beach ball. Well, if once you get that mental picture of that sort of, you know, Russian, Baltic, Yugoslavian, former Yugoslavian sort of look, it's a brain tattoo, right? It's etched in your mind. You can't get it out. Okay. So now back to the mountains and coming from the border. You come into it and you have swimwear like
everywhere.
On steroids, okay? Women in bikinis and men in Speedos with hair in places that you didn't think could be in places. It's crazy.
So in other words, it's not his norm. All right. So let's just be kind to everybody in the world.
Oh, they're wonderful people. Don't confuse me, but it is along those lines. Let's
all right,
be honest.
So listen, so we come in and again, Rob is nervous about this 2 weeks and I keep telling him, we're going to need this. We're going to need this. And I already know he's nervous. He's frustrated. First thing is we get into this area called Kotor Bay. Now, Kotor Bay is just that. It's a giant bay, all these mountains around, and we're staying within the bay area. So now our phones don't work. And so we're driving around and we don't have a signal. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to message the lady to meet us at the Airbnb, to let us in, show us around and all of that. And we go down, we finally find this place, which is, you know, when they send you a PDF with the directions listed out in the PDF of where to go, what to look for. It's like you're driving down this road that is kissing the side of a mountain and you could go into the water in any second and there's barely anything stopping you from going into the water. So in the road is about the width of 1.5 cars, but sometimes a bus comes by. So that makes it even more fun to try to like not die. And we get through and we're looking for, wait for it, a sign, literally a sign on the side of the road that says Yoga Boca House. And Rob is like, oh no, we're staying in a yoga studio, and which is like my dream, right, in life. So he's like, oh God, this is going to be crazy. So we find the sign. He has to go find one of the swimwear that's down in the beach to be able to ask them, hey, our cell phones aren't working. We need to communicate with the person that's supposed to meet us. And he walks down and he finds a really nice lady that happens to know exactly who we're looking for.
So, you know, I say to her, hey, look, I'm renting an Airbnb and I'm looking for this lady. And she's like, this is my friend. No problem. I'm going to help you. So I was like, okay, cool. Now, in the Airbnb, they mention that there are a lot of steps. Okay?
Okay, so now I want you to take him. He's been flying and then driving, almost got arrested at the border. There's swimwear everywhere. He's already kind of nervous about this. And she's like, we just have to walk up this hill. Rob and I look at the hill. We're like, oh my God. Like this hill is, it's, what do you think? It's like an 80% grade. Like
yeah,
on this
so
hill,
go,
it's like the most massive hill
that you've ever seen. So if you're listening to this at the gym right now and you're on the treadmill, take it up vertically as high as you can go, probably 15.0, and then double it. So you're basically walking up a wall. Okay. So that's what you're after. So the lady says, okay, you know, this is my friend. I'll call her. I'll go get her for you. You know, we'll say her name is Vivian. So Vivian comes out. Now ask me how much English Vivian speaks. Yeah, right. Exactly. Nothing. All right. So now I have realized that we're traveling for 4 months. 4 months. We travel light, but you can only travel so freaking light when you're traveling for 4 months. Okay. And you're traveling with a traveling podcast studio and a 4-year-old, right?
And so, all of our supplements.
So there's only so much, there's only so light that you can travel. So that means that we have four pretty big, heavy, 60 kilo. I don't even. How many pounds are they?
They're probably 40 to 50 pound bags, one 25 pound bag, and then 3 carry-on style.
All right. So now...
And a yoga mat and a pillow.
Okay. So now she says...
you got to come up this hill.
You got to come up this hill with the luggage. And I look at the hill and I'm like, I honestly don't know how I'm going to do it. So I'm wearing flip-flops because it's 420 degrees here, right? So I come up the hill. As I'm wheeling the hill up, have you ever had the thong, I don't know what else to call it, on the flip-flop that comes off? So that the thong, so imagine I'm going backwards, pulling up 50 pounds in like a reverse sled. Like if you were sledding, I'm reversing it. I'm going up backwards. And while I'm going up, the thong on my flip-flop comes off. And then I go sliding with the sweat on the bottom of my feet and the bottom of the flip-flop, I go sliding off like I'm at a slip and slide show. Okay. While I'm trying to pull with the left foot, the luggage all the way up, trying to hold the luggage so it doesn't tumble down to the ladies at the bottom of the thing, watching the gringo go up the thing and go like, what the hell is he doing? So finally I have to figure it out. Now I have 4 more of these that I have to do. And I'm not even halfway up the hill one. So Kim is comfortably tucked away, Stairway to Heaven up at the top of the mountain.
Comfortably tucked away. We haven't even talked about that yet.
You in just a second. Okay. So now I'm coming all the way up the hill. My heart is banging out of my chest. You know, when you have that heart that's banging, that your blood vessels are going with it. Okay. So now I got the whole thing. I can't breathe. My heart is banging. My carotid arteries, I'm bordering on a stroke. So I get to the top of the thing, and the lady says, "We're going to put it in the elevator." I'm like, thank God they have an elevator. This is amazing.
Hold on. I don't understand. So we get him up the hill, and the lady goes, "Well, there's just 5 flights of stairs." Okay, it's not 5 flights. It's the equivalent to the 5th story in a building. Okay. So there's 155 stairs. Rob knows that because Sophia makes him count them every single time we go up or down.
All right. So now I'm the hunchback in Notre Dame coming up the top of the bell tower with going up to whatever these steps are. I have to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to get the luggage up.
So there's this makeshift thing. Meanwhile, now I have my carry-on, Sophia, and the woman that doesn't speak English brings me and Sophia up to the top, to the house. And it's 155 stairs. So, of course, Sophia did it. She was like, what is this? But she did it. My heart's beating. We get to the top and there's this like, it looks like a ski lift. That's the best way I can describe it. It looks like a ski lift. And it's like this metal thing that goes down the mountain, like ski lift style, to about 3/4 of the way down. Now, Rob has to get the luggage from the top of the hill to where the ski lift thing will pick us up and bring the luggage, not the people, but the luggage all the way up the house. Thank God, by the way, that existed. Otherwise,
here's what you didn't see. What you didn't see is the woman giving me directions with Das and Nietz, okay, as I'm putting the thing on. So this quote elevator, which is basically a metal grate the size of a manhole cover that is supposed to carry the four luggage eye on top of each other. So I take the first piece. My back, I've herniated L3, 4, and 5 at this point. So now I'm lifting in the broken flip-flops, sweating with flop sweat all over my body. Lift the thing up over my head, put the luggage on it.
And I have
to yell to my wife, Sophia Loren, at the top of the terrace and go, okay, hit the button so the thing can come up to you. And the lady's like, nyet, 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 nyet. I'm like, what's what? And she's like, put the rest of the luggage on. So she made me stack onto the size of a manhole cover, 4 giant pieces of 40, 50 pound luggage on top of it. As I'm putting them on, they're falling off and I have to re-lift them on for, yeah, have you ever tried to do a functional workout with luggage over your head and put it on? Okay. It's really freaking hard. All right. So I'm putting it on. And as I'm putting it on, she's saying, now the luggage is on, hit the button. I hit the button and Kim slowly, and by slowly, I mean 0.1 mile an hour, the thing is going up. And while it's going up, the luggage is falling off one by one. And she's telling me, pick the luggage back up and put it on better. Okay. In Yugoslavian, because I don't know what they speak here. So I'm putting it on. Now I am completely soaked and putting it on. And Kim's up there hitting the button at the top of the mountain. I don't even know how many steps are ahead of me yet, because I've only gotten to the point of the elevator, which should never be called an elevator.
So you can tell he was really happy at this point, right? Because he was expecting the worst and then pretty much in his head got the worst, right? So now we're basically in a jungle. So there's a lot of bugs and flies and, you know, not flies, but like mosquitoes, that kind of stuff.
Which I love, which I'm actually moving to Southern California because I love entomology so much. I want to be around bugs.
Oh my God. So he's flying. So he's got these things. Now we finally have them all on steady. And I am lifting it with the elevator thing to the top. So now he has to schlep himself up the stairs, up 155 stairs. So by the time he gets to the top, I can tell by his face that he is not really excited.
Oh, it's an Iron Man. I mean, you're literally going through, you know, you see these strongman contests and you see these, like, you know, Russian bulls that are like lifting up, you know, anvils over their head. That's what the first round of this triathlon
was.
But
stay with us, because this is gonna turn, okay? There's gonna be a turn here, but it's not yet, because he walks up and as the luggage is approaching its final destination at the top, he looks down and he sees a cat. And now Rob is deathly allergic to cats.
When I tell you allergic, I get, what do they call that? Whelps? What do they call this on your hand?
Hives.
I get hives on the palm of my hands. Okay. That's how allergic I am.
And his throat closes. And so he goes, oh, great. And there's a fucking cat. I couldn't control it. I was dying inside, but at the same time, I could see that he was not really excited. And, you know, this place that we're staying in, it's a regular home. It has a kitchen. The family lives here. The reason we chose this is because, and by we, I mean I, the reason I chose this is because the rooftop has this magical deck that is for yoga. And it looks out over the bay and all these big mountains, and it is so magical. There's fruit trees in the back, apples, figs, grapes everywhere, plants. I mean, it's really stunning and beautiful. And I knew we needed this reset, and that's why I chose this. So he comes inside, drops off the luggage, and he said, all right, we gotta go get some wine and some dinner. I was like, all right. So we walked now down 155 steps and walk to a local, what they call Canoba.
Now, by the way, if they had a bottle of wine in the house, I would have been drinking that bottle of wine from the bottle on the steps on the way down to go get the next bottle of wine.
So we walk down these 155 stairs, down the hillside, and we walk down the street and find a Canoba, which is a local restaurant, fisherman thing right on the water. We sit and, you know, the guy comes over, hands the menu, brings the wine. Thankfully, the wine was really good. It's a local grape here Rob's never heard of, and he didn't actually care at that moment. I think he just wanted to mainline that shit. But he sat down and I saw him kind of like relax for a second. And we had a great dinner. The view was absolutely spectacular. Sunset, we're sitting on the water. I mean, it was amazing. We come back to the house, walk up 155 stairs, and now it's night. So now we're getting like bit by the mosquitoes, which was not so awesome, but that's okay. We walk in, the cat's walking around outside, and Rob's like, is this an indoor cat? What's going on? So I read through the PDF that she sent me and found where it's an outdoor cat, and we just feed it outside and stuff like that. He woke up in the morning And Rob, I'm going to let you take before
I woke up in the morning, how about the shits from the night before, from the dinner at the Canoba? Why are you leaving that part out?
Because that was...
I had fish stuffed with fish. What was that? It was like a pierogi that was like stuffed with pierogis. It was like, I don't know what kind... It was like...
was not the first night. That was like 4 days later.
I think I had the shits the first night, but go ahead. What was... I think I've had the shits every night, but go ahead. Tell me what the next story was that you want me to tell.
So you have a good night's rest. Thankfully, we had good AC. You had a great night's rest. And Sophia has her own little room here. We wake up in the morning. You're like, is there coffee? And I made this coffee. Oh my God. It was called Black and Easy. Some things just don't translate.
It was the black is beautiful coffee.
It was black is easy. Okay. That's literally what the coffee was called. And it was Turkish coffee. So it was like sediment left over in the bottom. And Rob was like, this is just not okay, but I'm going to drink it. So, but what I want you to do, because this was a turning point. The reason we're telling you all of this, one.
Okay, I woke up that morning with allergies my eyes, you know, when you wear the glasses where your eyeballs go all the way out? That's what my eyes look like prior to having the Black and Easy coffee. But go ahead. What's the good part you want me to tell?
No, Robert, he's playing now because he knows. He's playing it up, but... He was irritated, to say the least. You know,
was I?
His eyes are swollen shut. He's got the shits. He's got the Black and is easy coffee, which I'm sure helped the case. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to do my morning routine. I'm going to do my journaling. I'm sure he had a lot to journal that morning. He had to do his meditation. And he left with me sitting here, like, now I've kind of lied to him, telling him we're only here like 14 days, but really we're here like 18 days.
Yeah, I've learned something about my wife. I learned when she puts the word like in front of something, that's the lie part. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Don't spit your tea out. So she says like 14 days. Okay. I clocked about 18 hours at that point and I went, okay, so now I'm doing the reverse. You know, when you go on vacation and you do the reverse math and you're like, I only have 3 days left. I'm doing the reverse math. And I'm going like, oh my God, I have 13 days, 7 hours left.
Except for the fact I'm lying to him because he really has.
And then I look down at the calendar and go, when are we leaving here? And she gives me the date. I'm like, that's 18 days from today.
So anyway, and I keep reminding him gently, we're using this as a rest, as a reset. So he says, I'm going to go meditate and I'm going to go do my morning routine, my journal. I'm going to get a workout in. And so he leaves and he goes out and he goes into the garden and he begins his routine. And Rob, I want you to try to be honest here because you came back into the door very different than the Mr. Grumpy that walked out.
Okay. So here's the flip side of it. The flip side of it is what I learned about myself during this process is that I am very hardwired, as I think a lot of people are, but I think me especially, is very hardwired to step into the familiar. I like to do things that I'm comfortable with. I like to put myself in a bubble of luxury. I like to put myself in a bubble of bougie. And what I discovered is that I have been insulating myself in my travels, no matter where I am. If I am in, you know, Africa, I am going to find an environment that is going to be around people that, you know, are in the same socioeconomic level as I'm in, that like to do the same things that I like to do, that likes the conveniences of a hotel that I like to have. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Rhode Island or if I'm in Marrakesh, I'm going to find roughly the same kind of environment.
Water seeks its own level, right?
So the problem with, that I've learned is that when you're in that same environment, there's no growth and there's no new brain neurosynaptic pathways that are formed because you're just sliding into the familiar. And so forcing myself to slide into something that I'm very unfamiliar with, like the story that we just told, has lit my brain up in a way that it has not been lit up for sure for
over a good ever.
And that has forced me to realize that if I want to grow and I want to become better, then I need to step into a different way of thinking. The brain learns from mistakes and surprises. I've learned from Joe Dispenza.
Well, I gave you a lot of surprises.
And you gave me a lot of surprises.
Like, surprise, we still have two more weeks.
And so what I said was, okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to step into this environment and I'm going to roll with it and look for the positives that I can find and try and slide into those positives. And so what I did was the next morning, I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to go up and I am going to go, and by up, I mean, I'm going to go climb up the steps from where we're staying right now to, she built, like Kim said, she built a spectacular rooftop yoga studio. It's an outdoor rooftop yoga studio with an awning facing the water, which has the backdrop of the mountains behind it. And I'm going to do my morning journaling and meditation in that environment. And as I went through the first 10 minutes of the meditation, going deep into the meditation that I was in.
Now, was this after you journaled how much of an a-hole your wife is putting you here?
Probably. And then I sort of like, you know, half opened my eyes to look out. And when I did that, you know, we don't have to get into this here, but one of the things that I've learned in this meditation that I'm doing is when we are in stress and we are extremely focused on one thing, our minds have very convergent focus. And that convergent focus is only thinking about one thing. So when I'm looking out at the mountains, my mind has this divergent focus. And it's, my gaze is wide. And when my gaze is wide, it's allowing the left and right hemispheres to open up in a very, very different way. So we've probably pushed the limits of what we can do with this podcast because we have a little baby.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So I'm like, just to give you people always want to know like the behind the scenes. So Sophia is obviously here. We don't have like a childcare for her while we're traveling in Montenegro. And she just yelled from the other room, "Mommy, she wants some more hummus and pretzels that I gave her." So yeah, I'm literally walking around the kitchen right now, podcasting and getting a little snack together for the baby. But you know, the whole point of the story that we just told you is that, you know, sorry for the crinkling of literally the pretzels. I apologize. So the whole point of the story that we just told you is that, you know, sometimes, like Rob said, I told him the night we were dying laughing in Mykonos about what was going to happen in Montenegro. I told him there, I said, your whole purpose in your mastermind is to take these people, these high-level entrepreneurs, and to take them out of their current environment and put them in an environment that forces them to grow, that forces them to expand beyond their job and to expand beyond their work, because that is how you actually become inspired in spirit. You know, inspired, my husband taught me, means in spirit. So that's how you actually become inspired, by putting yourself in environments that are, that cause you to grow. And because Rob only, you know, seeks the thing, the little bougie bubble he likes, he's not doing that growth himself. And so I told him, I'm going to put you in an environment that's going to force you to grow, because this entire 4-month trip is very on the fly. This is not, obviously it's planned out and we have places that we're staying, but this is not Rob's norm. This is something that he's, quite frankly, probably doing because I'm pushing it and I love it. And, you know, living in Atlanta for the last however many years, God, I've been there since 2001, and living in the city, I have realized how much I miss the world and how much I miss the mountains and the sea and, you know, a lake. I just miss nature. And that's something that, you know, his bougie self doesn't really, like, he grew up in Queens, so he never had nature, you know? So he's not accustomed to that. So I'm forcing him into some of these different environments over the next 4 months to help him grow, because I know it's also going to help me grow and help Sophia grow. So what I'm really proud of is he came back down after that meditation and he said, "You're right. I don't know how you knew it, but this is exactly what we needed." And that night we went out and we had dinner at another Canoba that probably gave him the shits and talked about what are we trying to accomplish here in 2 weeks? What are we trying to, what is it that we can focus here and do the work and create? And so we created a list of goals that we want to accomplish by the end of the year, by 5 years, and all of these different things, things that we learned and brainstormed in the mastermind, things that we worked out with our friends, Darren and Tony and Mykonos, different ideas for our life and where we want to take it and how we want to do things and things for our businesses. And, you know, we came here. And so we have this list of things that we want to accomplish by the time we leave here, these plans, these formats, and we are doing it. And so I'm so proud of you, Rob, for looking at this and saying, I'm going to take what's positive about it and I'm going to use it to help me grow and help me become bigger and better. And I'm just really proud because you're so far outside your comfort zone that, you know, it's starting to get comfortable. So now, you know, on the first day when he saw the cat, I told him, I said, "You're going to need to get some allergy medication." So we don't usually take any medicine, but we're going to need some allergy medication. He was like, "Nope, nope, nope." By day three, he was like, "I need to go to the pharmacy." So we got allergy meds and he was like this damn cat. And now, literally 2 weeks later, not even 2 weeks later, he and this cat are BFFs. The cat follows him wherever he goes outside to do his meditation and his morning routine and his workout. Rob's feeding the cat at night. I mean, if Rob could, I mean, the cat's on an indoor cat, but if Rob could, he would bring this cat in and probably sleep with it at this point because, and let him curl up on the bed because you're BFFs now, right?
Yeah.
Which I mean, look at how much growth that is.
Which is really, really hard to say. You know, as you're, which is really hard for me because I hate cats. But this one is just something.
Well, you used to hate cats.
I used to hate them.
That's an old story. That's an old limiting belief you've been telling yourself.
It's going to burn that one in the fire. You know, look, this podcast is getting a little bit long, but I'll leave with this. You were right, and I was that this is something that I absolutely needed. And here is the thing that I've gotten mostly from this experience. I have a tendency to go, 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 and to achieve, achieve, achieve. And sometimes in doing that, you don't take the time to be thoughtful about your life, to be thoughtful about the why behind what you're doing. And you certainly don't take the time to execute on those ideas that you're trying to create. And what this has allowed me to do is all of that. And so in the morning, to give you an example, and maybe we'll do this on another podcast, but in the morning, when I'm thinking about, I'll give you an example of what I mean. So I've got a 2020 mastermind that I'm in the beginning stages of planning, right? We've got a couple of different countries that we're going to go to and where we want to go. But because we're taking this time and I have this beautiful environment, I'm not, you know, sort of sitting in a coffee shop somewhere or sitting home and, you know, executing a to-do list. I'm dreaming. I'm visualizing. I'm stepping into experiences because my state of mind is different here. My environment is different here. And so I'm thinking about...
This literally makes me want to cry. Like, this is what I want.
And so
this is what I wanted. This was my goal.
And so I'm thinking about when we're in XYZ country, which I'm not ready to reveal yet. I'm thinking about the faces of the mastermind members coming in and the experiences that they're going to have. And that's what I'm tapping into. And that's the connections that I'm having now. So I thank you.
I'm like literally tears in my eyes because, you know, it's so hard to take the queens out of the boy. You know, it really is. It's really hard to...
Oh, I can be a queen.
It's really hard to teach the old dog a new trick. You know, he is...
Can we let them go now?
I'm really proud of you.
This has been a long time. Thank you.
I love you. I'm really proud of you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye, everyone.
See ya. Bye. Bye.
Bye. You hang up first.
All right. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode and you know someone that needs some help in either stepping up their work hard game or their play hard game, it would mean the world to me if you shared this podcast with them to help me get this movement out there. So if you like what you heard, head on over to iTunes, take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review, and I will be forever grateful. So until the next episode, excuses are over. It's time to live.